Tired this year.
Oh, Kemp, this year. Okay. He deserves a lot of credit for just going in there all the time.
Yeah, June 4th was my last day. 49 years in education, Russ. You know, it's a long time, isn't it? I was trying to make 50, but the Lord impressed upon me that enough is enough. You know, I said, Lord, either let me know when I turn 75 or when I teach 50 years. Let me know which one. You know, well, I turned 75, but I ended with 49. So here we are. A lot of tragedy in the world today, isn't there? Russ had mentioned, boy, the people in Texas, then his niece, is that who was killed in the ATV? Cousin, okay. Terrible news, isn't it? But it does remind me of the sin-cursed world in which we live, right? And it's terrible. And the attitude that, or not the attitude, but the fact that each one of us has an appointment, don't we? And we can't get out of it. And it's terrible, and we do know that God is good. And he'll work his will. Did you know that there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible? Did you know that? I knew there were a lot, but I didn't know the number. And the halfway point is 595. Okay? That's the middle chapter in the Bible. I'd like you to turn there. Where do you think it is? Psalms. Psalm what? Take a guess. Huh? Very close. But it's not 119. It's a little bit lower. Nope. Nope, not 15. You're on a track. 19, 18, 117. Turn to Psalm 117. Psalm 117 is the middle chapter of the Bible. I mean, it is. It's also the shortest chapter in the Bible. Okay, two verses in the King James. In the Hebrew, the language in which it was originally inspired, there's 17 words, but in the King James, I think there's 33-some words in this particular psalm. Short psalm. But because it is short, that does not mean that there's not some amazing truth and some good things in here that we can look at. This Psalm 117 is part of what is called in the Jewish tradition part of the Hallel. And the Hallel is those series of psalms from 113 through 118 that praise and thank God for his many kindnesses that are showed upon Israel. And these psalms are sung before and after the Passover feast. They sing these. I mean, we read these as literature in our books today, in our Bible today. But these were written as songs that people actually sang. And it was either to music or, you know, a cappella. But they sang them before and after the Passover. And what is interesting to me, what I found when I was looking at this, the fact that it is sung, and I was sitting there thinking of Matthew 20 and Mark 14 when Christ was instituted the Lord's Supper. Remember that particular scriptural portion? That he had the last Passover there and he instituted the Lord's Supper. And at the end it says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Okay? Now, our Bible says when they sung a hymn. Now, I don't know if they picked a hymn out of the hymn book, you know, but this is what I believe and I think really happened. Christ and those people were good Jews, correct? And they followed the traditions. And the traditions was to sing what? This Hallel, Psalms 113 through 118, before and after the Passover. So when we look at this morning, I want you to think. This was probably the psalm, one of the psalms, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sang when the Passover was over. And when the Passover was over, and they celebrated that, where was he heading? Huh? He was heading to the cross, wasn't he? He was heading there, but yet he was able to sing this psalm. And the psalm says, if you're there, it says, "Oh, praise the Lord." Imagine that. On the way to die for the sins of the world, he's singing, "Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that we're able to be here, that we are able to look into your word. Father, I thank you for the inspiration and the preservation of these words that we call Psalm 117 today. I thank you that you included it as part of the celebration of the Passover, Lord, and that it was sung there, and even sung by our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have it here, that we can look into it. It's important, Father, and we ask that you would guide our hearts, guide our thoughts, guide our minds for the next 35 minutes or so, Father, as we look into your word to see what is there for us. God, we love you. And as it says here, we do praise you. In Christ's name, amen. Now, as we look here, we can see, well, what I did is I looked at this psalm and when I look at things, I always ask the typical questions to myself. You know, who, what, when, where, how. When you go to read something, to see what it means, to see what it's talking, who it's talking to, what it's talking about, and what it's supposed to be. Okay, when I look at Scripture, I sort of look at it that way. Other people don't, but I do. And so when I look at this here, the first thing I ask is, as myself, I says, okay, what am I supposed to do? Okay, what is this psalm telling me to do? Okay, and I think it's pretty clear in the first four words, isn't it? Huh? It's pretty clear here what we are supposed to do. Because it says here, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, oh, praise the Lord. All ye nations, praise him. All ye people. Now the previous psalms that talked about praise called the nation of Israel to praise the Lord. This particular psalm calls all the people of the world to praise him, which includes the Gentiles. Now think of this when we mentioned the fact that Christ was singing this probably when the Passover was over and he was knowing that he was heading to that cross to shed his blood, the blood of the New Testament, for all the people of the world. He did not just die for the Gentiles. He didn't just die for the Jews. He died for the entirety of the human race. And that's why it says here, is what? He's here calling everybody to praise the Lord. Is that not why we were created? You know, Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 43:24, he wrote this. He read, the people, and now this is God speaking, because God is speaking to him. He says, the people whom I formed for myself. Is that you? Is that me? Is that everybody? The people that I formed for myself that they might declare my praise. You see, that's why we were created. We were created for His glory. We were created to praise Him. We were created to worship Him. And there are, you know, the world is full of things to worship, okay? Things, people, all these things to praise, okay? You know, you just think about it, okay? There's so much there that we can worship and praise, but we only find true peace, true joy, true hope, true love when we praise the Lord. And in our lives, when we were, as we were created to praise Him, to bring glory to Him, there's many times that we get sidetracked, you know, in our lives and in our praise. Okay? It can become very easy, number one, to become sidetracked by the aspect that everything in this world revolves around me. Okay? Around me. Okay, what was good for me? What I want to do. Okay. I was dealing with somebody this morning who called me and wanted to know if it's all right to go to this place this morning instead of going to church. Okay. It's a loaded question, isn't it? Huh? How do you answer that without offending the person you're talking to? Because when he asked me that question, just by the fact that he was asking me, I knew what he wanted to do, okay? I knew that he wanted whatever he was doing. I won't tell you what it is, what he was doing. That was going to interfere with him going to church and praising and worshiping God. Isn't that why we're here? To praise and worship Him. Okay, and he wanted to know what he should do. I don't know. But I did tell him this after I studied this. I says, I tell you what. Christ on his way to the cross said, oh, praise the Lord. Okay. I'll tell you what you should do. I said, you should go to church. Okay. But if you don't, hey, I'm going to still love you, brother. You know, I'm still going to love you. But nonetheless, these things get in our way. We become the first. You know, if you go to Google and do a search, and I did it. I wanted to search, what is on there in Google that talks about yourself being number one? And I found some titles such as this. And I'll only give you a couple because, you know, you go on Google, the list, boom, you're like there. But I'll tell you, these are some of the things that get in our way. The 12 ways to make yourself a priority. Okay? Christian, who's the priority in our life? Huh? Who's the priority? Not yourself. Okay? But that was one of the titles. Another title was Why Self-Love Should Be Your First Priority. Okay. Who is our first love, Christian? Huh? Our first love is our Savior. Okay. Not ourselves. And then the Happier Human magazine. Boy, that sounds like something you want to rush out and get a subscription to, right? The Happier Human magazine, it had an article in there entitled, Your First and Foremost Priority in Life Should Be You. What a philosophy, okay? that's not why we were created, right? How many of you know the Westminster Catechism? How many of you ever heard of the Westminster Catechism? Okay, do you guys know what a catechism is? And I'm not Catholic, so don't get all hyper here. Catechism is nothing more than a didactic way of teaching and learning. Okay, you ask a question, there's a set answer. In early education in America, that's the way things were taught. Okay, that's the way it was. But the Westminster Catechism, and it was developed by the Presbyterian Church, but this was back when the Presbyterian Church was orthodox in its doctrine, and it was in the throes of Reformation from, you know, the Roman Church, okay? But the first thing, the first question in the Westminster Catechism is this. What is the chief end of man? Can anybody answer that? Not self. What is the chief end of man? Now, this is coming from the religious point of view, an orthodox point of view. What is the chief end of man? And the answer that you had to learn going through your Sunday school training in there is this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Yet the world today tells us that our first priority and foremost priority is who? Self. Okay? Completely opposite. Unfortunately, sometimes that gets in our way. When we catch ourselves saying things like, boy, I'm so much better than that person. Did you ever say that? Seriously? You know. Ever see somebody? Saw a guy last night at Dollar General. Boy, they're everywhere now, aren't they? Dollar Generals. My goodness. Okay. He came out, and I looked at this guy, and he had long hair, scraggly beard. Of course, he had tattoos from his wrists all the way up, okay? And as I talked to him later, he even had tattoos on his knuckles and everything there. And he had these earrings in. Did you ever see them? They're big holes, you know? And dressed in all black and sort of slovenly looking. And, you know, I'm looking at this guy walking out Dollar General, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, boy, I'm glad my daughter didn't bring him home, you know? And then he walks over to the car. My window was down. He says, Mr. Hill, how are you doing? You know, and I'm there. My goodness, I actually know this kid. You know, somebody I knew. But I should not have said that glad my daughter didn't bring him home. Okay? Or you said, if this, and Russ probably dealt with this a lot in his football team. He says, if this team didn't have me, they would stink. Did you ever have some arrogant players, Rush, who thought they were it on the team? It was all about them, you know. You know, we start saying things like that. I should get what I deserve, okay? When we start making ourselves the center of praise, that's a bad place to be in, okay? It gets in our way of the worship to our God. Okay, that's what we should do. You know, another thing that sort of sometimes gets in the way is other people. Okay, there's a big difference between admiring and worshiping, isn't there? Do you admire anybody? You know, I was reading a book this week. It was entitled Scenes in American History of Scenes in America of Church History. And I talked about all some of these great, great people. And one of the people I was reading about, and I really started admiring her more, was Fanny Crosby. You know who Fanny Crosby is? Huh? Who is she? She is the foremost hymn writer in the nation. Thousands of hymns that she wrote. Okay? She was prolific in writing. She was born healthy, normal. 6 months later, 6 months into her life, she came down with an eye infection. And a doctor came to look at her. The parents called. And at that time, they put plasters on the eyes, you know, filled with medications to try to relieve the pressure and draw out the pain. And when they put that on her eyes, she was blinded for life. But it didn't hold her down. Boy, I admire her. She went to school. She found a blind school in New York City, left home, left all she knew, went there, was trained, ended up teaching there, writing song after song after song. And today, you know, you take your hymnal out and you look in that Majesty hymnal that's in your back of your pews there, and you look up Fanny Cosby, and I bet you you'll see a lot of songs there that you guys sing here because of her. Boy, I admire her, but I don't worship her. Okay. I don't have an altar on my mantle now to Fanny Cosby. But I've been into some homes where some people have had altars to different people. Okay. Sports is a great thing. People involved in sports, okay? Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know if you like him or you don't like him, okay? But my one sister loves Ben Roethlisberger. And when his heyday, you should have seen her one room that she had. It was Ben Roethlisberger decor, okay? I mean, the walls were painted black. The trim was painted gold. The Big Stiller logo was on the wall. And all these pictures, I mean, to me, that was beyond admiring. But we all could be caught up and into that. She was actually worshiping. But we have to keep that in mind, okay, when we worship, not to worship things. Things can sidetrack us from worshiping God. Money. I can't go to church. I can't go to worship. I got to work that extra job. Status. Physical appearance. Entertainment. Comfort. Technology. Boy, that's a big one. Social media. Do you guys have internet here at the church? Wi-Fi? Huh? You have Wi-Fi here? Okay. You guys on Wi-Fi right now? On your phones? Huh? We got Wi-Fi at our church years ago, too, probably like here, and we talked about it. And I like using it because when I get there, I'm kind of a critical person when I listen to a preacher, and I hope some of you are, too. Okay. When he says something or gets a word or something, I will get on Wi-Fi and I will look it up to make sure he's telling the truth right then and there, okay, or whoever's there. I will double check him. But at the same time, we are sitting there in Sunday morning in our church. I don't know what it's called in yours. Where's that program? Okay. See, in our bulletin, it's mentioned as Sunday morning worship service, okay? And by the fact of that, that means that we are gathered there together to worship God, okay? That's what we're told in the New Testament. And we're gathered there to worship in singing, to worship in preaching, to worship in giving. All entities of that is to worship and direct praise unto God that we see here in Psalm 117. Okay? But we have Wi-Fi. So, you know, I sit in the back of the church because at there, my job at the church is to sort of be security. Okay? I make sure the doors are locked when worship begins. I sort of keep an eye on the parking lot. I get up and look at it every once in a while. Okay, and I am there. And we do carry things in our church to help us in certain situations, you know. But nonetheless, I sit in the back of the church, and I can look in the back of everybody. You know what I see? While worship is going on, while preaching is going on, you know what I see? Okay. What are they doing? Huh? Texting. Looking at Facebook. Looking at X. Looking, you know, whatever they do. And what should you be doing during worship? Remember now, why were we created? To praise God and to glorify Him forever, right? And so instead of doing that, we are sitting there in church, and that thing is getting in our way. I'm not saying Wi-Fi is bad, okay, any more than a computer is bad, but we do not have to let it get ahead of us in our worship to God. Okay? You know, so that's something that happens. Okay? You know, and it gets in the way of a lot of things. Okay? I know that many of you are, I don't know if you're like me, but it just grits me when I go to dinner with my family and I sit there at the dinner and you know what half of them are doing? What are they doing? Texting or on their phone, and they're sitting with a real life person who they could be talking to. You know, it just grits me. You know, I know I usually have Thanksgiving meal at my place and Christmas dinner at my place, and I always tell them, if I see you texting or talking to someone on the phone during this dinner, I'm going to ask you to leave the table. Okay. It just bothers me. That's just a pet peeve of mine. But nonetheless, things get in our way of worshiping God. Okay, they get there, okay? It's a bad place to be. This says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Don't let anything get in the way. And then the question to that was the what. What are we supposed to do? Who's supposed to do it? Okay, it doesn't leave too many questions, right? Options here, does it? Who is to praise the Lord? Huh? I see all people. I see all nations. Now, what's the difference between nations and people? Okay. Nations is the group that's gathered together to some kind of formalize things. Is the United States a nation? Huh? Yes. But is the United States composed of different peoples? Sure it is. Okay? So this gets down to the nitty-gritty where it says, all people, all nations are to praise the Lord. Are Americans to praise the Lord? Yes. Are people in Pennsylvania supposed to praise the Lord? Yes. Are people who live in Tioga County supposed to praise the Lord? Anybody here not live in Tioga County? Where you live? Huh? Are people in Potter County supposed to praise the Lord? Okay. I wasn't sure if everybody here was there or not. Okay. All right. Are people who live in Wellsboro supposed to praise the Lord? In Mansfield? In Elkland? In Westfield? In Gailton? Okay. I don't know where you live in Potter County, but, you know. You see where I'm getting to? It narrows down to where? Huh? To you and me, right? We are to praise the Lord. We're not exempt about praising the Lord. There's no skipping out. It reminds us everyone is to praise the Lord. In the midst of blessings, it's easy to praise God then, isn't it? It's easy. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. How about in the midst of suffering? That's not so easy. Psalm 134 tells us, though, I will bless the Lord at all times. Psalmist writes, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the highs, that's the lows. Okay. It's not pleasant to praise God in difficult times, but it can be done. Sometimes we don't know why. Why were these young people killed? Okay. Why? It's hard to understand that. Okay. Where is God in all this, you say to yourself? Or your critics come up to you and say, if God is so good, then how come he allowed this to happen to you? And you got to have an answer. And in grief and in sorrow, we can still praise the Lord. Because we do know, Russ prayed this morning, he mentioned this too, we know that God is loving, that God is kind, and God and his sovereignty is always in control. And we have to remember that. So we can praise him there. Okay, another question. Okay, we have the who, we have the what, now why should we praise God? Why should we praise him? This is found in verse 2. Notice, he gives us a couple reasons here in verse 2 in this particular psalm. Okay, but if you research the scriptures, if you purview it, if you look at it, you'll find many, 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 many more nuggets of gold as to why we should praise the Lord. But here, he happens to give us two. He says this, number one, he says, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Now, bear in mind, he talks about at the beginning, he says, all ye nations praise him, all ye people. He's talking to the Gentiles here mainly. Why should the Gentiles be merciful for his greatness and his kindness toward them? Huh? What did he promise Abraham? Didn't he promise that he would have a seed that would be a blessing to who? To the whole earth. And he's talking about this here. Because his merciful kindness was great towards the Gentiles as well as the Jews in providing a Savior for their sins. Now the word great here, you know, a lot has to do with a feat or anything like that. Great means it's just so immense, so big, that it just overpowers everything. That is what the Hebrew word great here has a connotation to. Okay? That's how great his kindness is towards us. Okay? We know this. We know his love. God's love for us. God's love for you and for me has been the same from the start. When did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten son? When? When did that start? Before creation. And when will that stop? Huh? It won't. That's how great his love is towards us. Okay? I mean, and he shows it, and that is found in Jesus Christ. God will always love us, okay? You know, it's sort of like lust. Like, you know, I will always love my wife. I will always love my children. I will always love my sons and daughters-in-laws. I will always love my grandchildren. I always love my, geez, I have a great grandchild now. Boy, that doesn't sound good. But anyway, I will always love them. Don't mean I always like them. Okay. like what they do or whatever, but I'll always love them. And think about that God, how God that is. Does God always like what you do? Huh? Does he always like it? But you know, he always loves us. We know that his mercy, his kindness is so great towards us that when we got bring back to our senses, that he will forgive us and cleanse us and restore us to great fellowship. That's one of the reasons why I need to praise him. Another one there is found in here, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. His truth is everlasting. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? The truth of Jesus Christ is contained in the scriptures of truth that we have in front of us, given to us by the Holy Spirit of truth and God the Father of the truth. His truth is everlasting. Despite the attacks that are made upon it, despite all the other things that are given, his truth will remain. His truth is everlasting. Okay? At the end of day, everything on earth that we might say might let us down. Okay? You know, it will. Only God is completely faithful. Only God is completely true. I can read the scriptures. I can look into it. I can dig into it. And I can sit there and say, God, I have no clue what that means. Could you please let me know? But I never doubt the truthfulness of it. I never doubt the veracity of it. I never doubted at one all that what he is telling me is true. Because God is truth, and God never changes. God was the same yesterday, God is the same today, and God will be what? The same tomorrow. Okay? He is truth. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. It's our responsibility now, as we leave here, to praise the Lord. It's our responsibility. You don't know how much that might mean to somebody as you're praising the Lord. Something might happen at work. Something might happen at in the school when it starts up again. Something might happen somewhere where you sit there and something, oh, praise the Lord, and they look at you like, what does that mean? And then what does that give you an opportunity to do? Huh? To witness to them, to tell them of the Lord and his merciful kindness and his truth. Okay? Where to do it? We have no choice in the praising the Lord. You're going to leave here. You're going to go to a little bit of a snack and hopefully to Sunday school to learn more of God and God's word and God's doctrine. And then you're going to leave here and go out into the what we call the world. Okay? Will you make it an emphasis in your life? Whatever time God gives you left, because none of us know our appointed time. But whatever time God gives you, would you give him what you were created to do? And that is to praise him and glorify him in what you do. Father, we thank you that we're able to look into your word. We thank you, God, that in your love, that before the foundations of the world, you loved us. And you sent your son to die for us. We thank you for this truth. We thank you, God, that we can trust upon it and your faithfulness to us. God, we don't know. I don't know what many are going through here. I don't know what lies ahead. But I do know this, that you're faithful to us. Okay. And you will help us in all things. I pray, God, you'd help us to praise you in all that we do. Thank you, God. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.